Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Red Men Radio. I am Paul Mach, and I am joined this week by Mr. Thomas Dutton.
Hello, Tom. Hello.
It's been a while since we've seen each other.
I know.
On a combination of Rome plus me having the weekend off mercifully, as it turns out. So we're back here. We are, doubtless Chelsea will get a mention or two, Tom, because it kind of has to some extent, but we're not really going to talk about it. We're going to talk once again about how great Rome was, because we've not had the chance to talk about that.
It was fantastic.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about Brighton, and we're going to do a few more things in between. We're going to start with some news in brief before we get... In fact, no. That's not the order that we do things. Let's have the kickoff question. Until I've been gone for a while. Adam Boland sent this in on the Facebook group. Now, if you're a subscriber to theredmentv.com, there's an exclusive group where people who are subscribers to the website get to come over and chat and add questions to this very podcast. So do get involved if you're already a subscriber. Or if not subscribing, then consider this a bonus. Adam Boland says, your combined 11 of the 04-05 Champions League team and this season's Champions League team. Is this one of the easiest questions that's ever been set?
It is, but it's hard because it depends who you pick from this squad. Is where I found it hard.
So you've gone predominantly 04-05?
No, of course not.
All right, okay, cool, yeah. Okay, so let's go through position by position. Have you stuck with the current formation?
I've gone with 4-3-3. I figure we're going to play in Jürgen Klopp's system because it's better and football was better.
Sad. I've just had a little glance at your team and there's a glaring omission in mine, which is going to make me look stupid, but we'll come to that in a moment. In goal.
Karius, obviously.
Yeah, Karius. As much as, like, here's the thing, Jerzy Dudek helped us win much silverware. Basically wins the League Cup for us in 2003, uses that as a prototype to go and win the Champions League for us almost single-handedly against AC Milan, or double-handedly at times. But no, I agree. I think maybe this is one of those things. I think in the fullness of time, if we win nothing with Karius in goal, in a couple of years' time, he will just be added to that list of goalkeepers who weren't good enough and did nothing for us. It's probably slightly offensive to miss out Jerzy Dudek, but I've done the same.
It's hard just because I like the style of play with which we can play. I mean, when Karius is in goal, it just allows us to push a bit further up, and then when we get to our centre backs, we'll see why we put Karius in there.
Okay, let me hear your back four.
My back four is Trent, Carragher, Van Dijk, and Jimmy Traore, obviously. No, I've gone for Robbo left back. But I wanted to put Steve Finnan in there.
Yeah, I considered Steve Finnan. But no, Trent was going to get the nod in this regard, which is funny because right here, right now, outside of these four walls, there's people having the discussion of Trent shouldn't be starting in the Champions League final for us now because we're now back. We've now gone the other direction. We've had like a month of going, what a great player he is and what a talent he is, and now we're back to where we were the week before that of like, oh, he's not good enough, he's a bit of a liability. Nah. Any consideration to Sammy Hippier?
I was going to, but I mean, that partnership, Carragher and Hippier, was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And he was a really... He scored some important goals for us, but I think Van Dijk is going to do that as well. He's already done it against Everton. I mean, Hippie's technique for the Juventus goal is unbelievable, so I'm kind of ashamed to leave him out.
This is the thing where it should be Sammy Hippie again. I have done this very much of the mindset that I want this to be a Jürgen Klopp side, not a Rafa Benitez side. And I again... Hopefully in years to come, we'll look back at Karius as one of the great centre-halves to play for us. At the minute, he's not, because he's not had enough time to do that for us. But I think he's a bit faster. I think Sammy was... You know what? Sammy was great. I think that I just think that maybe there's just slightly more about... We remember Sami Hyypiä as a ball-playing centre-half, but I also remember that it wasn't quite the ball-playing centre-half that we kind of have him in our memory to some extent. But
it's hard, tough. Because you've got to have Gallagher in there. You've got to, just purely because... Yeah. I mean, I know Van Dijk's the talker in this team in terms of defending, but you want Carragher to be screaming at Trent, screaming at Robbo, screaming
at
our players.
And to be honest, I just don't think we've nailed down that partner for Van Dijk. No. I think Lovren's been fine, but you want that guy who throws his body on the line.
Exactly.
And Lovren's kind of good at that, but I don't think it's as natural a thing for him as it was for a Carragher. Yeah. Right, who's your midfield three?
So it's Alonso, Gerrard. And I was torn between Ox and Chan here.
Okay.
Because if you're going defensive, you stick Chan in there and let Gerrard just maraud. Or you just have Ox in there and let them Gerrard and the Ox go forward.
This is where I've made a complete tit of myself.
Have you got a sense of defensive mid?
The future captain of the most recent Champions League winning Liverpool team, Mr. Jordan Henderson. Now, you know why? Because I was going to put Gerrard in there.
Yeah.
I forgot that Xabi Alonso existed. And hilariously, I've literally just reorganised the playlist on my channel and the first video is a picture of me and Xabi Alonso. And that is literally in the last 20 minutes before coming in here, I managed to look at Xabi Alonso and not enter into my head that he was it. But yeah, so I went... Because my instinct was go, well, Gerrard in the Henderson position, but you don't want to not have Gerrard in an attacking sense. Yeah. You don't want to limit that Steven Gerrard. So I put him in the box-to-box role, in the Genie Wijnaldum role in this, so he can get forward and support, but he can do the dirty work defensively as well. And I put Oxlade-Chamberlain in there with the gift of hindsight. And I could change this, but I'm not going to because I'm stubborn. And, you know, just for the comments below. Jordan Henderson's much better than Xabi Alonso in that position.
Well, I was about to say, that's the problem, is could Xabi Alonso get about the pitch? He'd do the passing so much better, and imagine Xabi Alonso in his that age in the Jurgen Klopp team now. But I don't know if he'd be like the one you just let kind of do what he wants, but he can't do that in this team.
Exactly. And look, of course Xabi Alonso could do it because he's phenomenal, but that's the thing. I think people are very critical of, senselessly I think at times, critical of Jordan Henderson. I think it's an underrated, being able to move is an underrated quality. Now Xabi Alonso, he was so far ahead of the play in his head that he didn't need that mobility, because he's just all around the pitch awareness gave him the extra yards that he maybe lacked in pace and what have you. So look, don't get me wrong, this team is no worse for having Alonso in. I just think that I like the pace of Jordan Henderson, and look, Jürgen really, really likes him.
Yeah.
Really likes him. Really, really likes him. So, controversial, but I have, and almost exclusively because I forgot Alonso existed. Is the front three?
It is, but there is also a shelf for Cinema Upon Goal, Neil Mellor, and Harry Kewell.
I would absolutely have Neil Mellor on the bench instead of Danny Ings or Dom Solanke because he had a tremendous habit that season of cropping up with important goals for us. We forget this when we're looking at our Liverpool team this year, and in the moments where we've had a draw or two along the way and people have started to be like incredibly critical of everything around the football club, people have got very short memories, or maybe they're just too young, but like 2004-05, we had Jibril Cisse broke his leg against Blackburn, I think it was, and he was out for the whole of the season. We had Milan Baros, who was injured for a large portion of the season, and we had Neil Mellor up front, and Neil Mellor's a lovely fella, decent analyst, decent pundit, but he was called Gerd because he scored lots in the youth setups and what have you, but he was never of that quality. He scored a wonderful goal against Arsenal where he admitted himself he just hit it because he was dead tired.
Fair play. Some great goals.
Cropped up in Olympiacos, cropped up in the World Club Championship, I think the year later maybe as well. And Pongol did a similar thing. I love both of them, but
we forget about Igor Bishkan. I mean, he's not getting in the team above Gerrard or any of the players we picked, but he got us through them Champions League rounds, you know what I mean? He was, that's why he's such a cult hero.
Yeah.
For me especially. I just enjoyed watching him play, even though he wasn't the best.
Yeah.
He got us through them games, and he's as much a part of that 05 winning team as anyone else.
There's not a single member of Liverpool's current midfield that I wouldn't choose over Igor Bishkan, by the way. Oh, I really like Igor Bishkan. But that, again, it shows how far we've come, I think realistically, I mean, spine-wise, I would still... the thing that makes it hard is that we had no attack that season.
Yeah.
Gibril Cissé was a legacy signing from Houllier, who Benitez kind of had to carry, and it was telling that he ended up playing in right wing a lot because he didn't know what to do with him. You know, it was eventually we ended up on the path where it was Fowler and Crouch and then and Cout, and then eventually we got to Fernando Torres. But yeah, Gerrard, I think, to be fair, I think Carragher, Alonso and Gerrard, there's more than enough to make this team. Maybe that's the addition this summer of insert young centre-half to partner Van Dijk.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Naby Keita, and maybe it's Nabil Fekir or whoever to come in, and they're the ones that make this team that take it up to the next level.
It's amazing just how much stronger that team would be if we had Reiner in goal as well, I think. Mm-hmm. Just for the next season. I know Karius could be amazing, but Reiner was that step up in terms of goalkeeping that we still kind of need, just someone proven.
Yeah, definitely. Fantastic question. Thank you very much, Adam Boland, on the Facebook for sending that in. News in brief then. So as mentioned, Nabil Fekir has been strongly linked, and all the talk is very much like it's done and dusted. We'll see. I saw a great video clip of him playing in the, was it the Lyon derby? And he made it 5-0 and took his shirt off and held it up in front of their fans. They rioted around on the pitch, and it took them half an hour to calm the game back down again. This team, our team, I've said this before, is sorely lacking in Bellends.
Have you seen him play as well?
He's a good footballer.
He's very good. You know what? He reminds me of Lallana in the way that he's got the touch and the skill, but then it's Coutinho with like his feet are so good. I know I'm watching little clips of him. I need to watch him play a game.
Yeah.
But as far as YouTube compilations go, it's up there with the best, you know what I mean?
It's up there with the Argo Aspas of this world, as far as top quality YouTube compilations.
Genuinely.
Interesting, though. I mean, everyone's been banging this drum. Big fan. People are, a lot of people are big fans of him. We've been getting his name mentioned, nothing to do with Liverpool. Like, you know, like, I've not heard this as a rumour until recently, but, like, go back to, like, last summer when people were doing, like, their dream signings.
Yeah.
His was one of the names that came up more often than not. Christian Pulisic's links have resurfaced again. Fine, that's always going to be there, and I think it's easy clicks whether it's true or not because we know there's a strong interest from Liverpool there.
Yeah.
He's a good example, Tom, of a guy whom... We mentioned this, I think it might have been on the podcast, it's been on shows recently, where Liverpool getting to a European Cup final, whether we win it or not, is the kind of thing that makes a player go, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, Pulisic might be looking at Dortmund all of a sudden and going, well, I'm not going to win the league anytime soon.
Yeah.
Dortmund ended up in the Europa League. How far off am I from getting to a European Cup final? He's one of those players I think that could well have his head turned. It could make it an easier job to get older.
Definitely, and I think he's 19, so he's probably looking at Trent as well and going, look how much he's kicked on in one season. That could be me. When I'm 20, I could be twice the player I am now just because of Jurgen Klopp and his team and the philosophy that he instills in people. So if I was him, I mean, I'd join Liverpool because I'm a massive Liverpool supporter.
Because you.
You know what I mean? But look, he could play in the Ox role. I know he's played on the wings kind of for Dortmund. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I'm not 100% sure of that. Who scored?
Yeah, he can play from the left, can't he? But you're right. I wonder whether he's one of those who we bring back a row and we make him more of an attacking player.
Yeah.
But knowing that he can play there, gives you the squad depth that helps us out with what we need.
Definitely.
If I'm Jurgen Klopp and I'm having another of my secret conversations with players that we really like, I'm saying, right, you've got 4 years till the next World Cup.
Yeah.
America didn't make it this time, mate. You are going to be the biggest superstar that America's ever seen.
Yeah.
And I'm showing him Portugal, and I'm showing him Egypt, and I'm showing him Wales, you know, for the European Championships. And I'm saying, you've got the chance here to be the Ronaldo, the Mo Salah, the Gareth Bale of your country, and drag your country to a major, to the next World Cup, and you're going to do it at Liverpool. And he goes, yeah, man, or something.
It's like German.
Yeah, Dembele linked as well. Usman Dembele from Barcelona. I mean, not sure how likely that is, but he's a good example of. I would love us to end up getting him because they paid like 100 something million for him because they panicked big time.
Yeah.
I'd love us to get him for a really. I don't know what a reasonable fee is these days, but I'd love them to have to take a loss to move him on. And bring to us. Still got loads of talent, not quite worked out from a Barca.
Well, that's it. His stats aren't very good. So he's 11 starts, 6 off the bench, and he scored 3. We've been kind of what's the word, spoiled by Mohamed Salah. You expect someone to come on the wings and you've got to be getting a 10 goals at least. I know he's played, but you can say that he might not have got enough starts, but he's playing in that Barcelona team with these players. Yeah. I know he's been injured as well.
Exactly, he had the injury problems when he first, it took him a long while to get back in, and maybe, you know, and he came in at the back end of pre-season as well, didn't he? So he's not really had time to settle, so you'd expect him to be better. But to be fair, it's not like Coutinho said that, you know, he scored loads of goals. He's played from the left and not been the same player as he was for us. But that's one of them players. They're all exciting young talents.
Yeah.
That's where I think Liverpool will go big this summer. I think, you know, there was talk that Klopp said it in January, like, you don't buy your Coutinho replacement in January. You buy it next summer when you've had time to scout and you've had time to prepare and you get your bids straight. I'd be happy with any of those three, or in fact all three of them in the summer. That'd be great. A bit of breaking news, actually. Joe Gomez, reported by James Pearce of the Liverpool Echo, is out now for the rest of the season, which is not, you know, too long all told, but yeah, he's had ankle surgery. It's a blow, isn't it?
It is a blow. It's hard. You just need that cover. I know Klein's back and
That's the one saving grace of this, is that he's probably realistically our third best right back at this point. Yeah. So, and that's only just by timing more than anything else, because we've had Klein back for a few weeks now. That's not the blow that it would be losing someone on the other side. Maybe like if you lost Moreno,
you'd be
thinking we're only an injury away from having to totally change fundamentally what we do. Whereas it's a disappointment for Gomez. But it's probably come in the one position where we've actually got a bit of cover.
That's it. I don't think he would have played anyway. I think Klein gets the minutes against Brighton. I know we need to win that game, but I think he does, just so that Trent then comes on in the final and Klein's got minutes in his legs playing with the team. So it's not a panic. If Trent needs to move to midfield for whatever reason, Klein can do that. That it is hard because, again, he can cover the right back position and the centre back position.
Yeah.
If we ever need to go to a back three, he could have played the right centre back position. I know he's not played that well in the past few games, but he's been really good this season. Again, we've forgotten him and Trent were rotating in and out, and they were both at a really good level at that point.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's just annoying because you just don't like to see it. We saw this a few times when we got into major finals, and it's annoying when the lads have got to come on in the suit, and you want them to be part of it. Yeah. They've put in the shift to get us there. Yeah. Oxlade-Chamberlain's another great example of that. You know, you want to see those lads take part, even if it is only a bit part. So yeah, bit of a shame, but all the best, Joe Gomez, and get better soon, mate. Last thing before we move on to talking about the actual footy, Steven Gerrard, we know now, confirmed as Glasgow Rangers boss. I've done a video about this on my channel. I think I could see it from both ends, whether it's a good decision or a bad decision. I'm seeing a lot of angry Liverpool / Celtic fans who have decided to probably set fire to their Gerrard shirts and what have you.
A lot of people saying he's never coming back to Liverpool now because, you know what I mean? I think he... In my opinion, I would have liked to see him stay for another season, but then does he get the chance to go there? Si made a really good point last time when we spoke about it, and he said Rangers is a team where you go and you're expected to win every game, and that's what you need to do to be a manager of Liverpool if he ever wants to do that. He has to have that mentality in every single club he goes to. There's no point going to Southampton and going, well, there's 7 or 8 teams there that we're going to go for a draw for. You can't do that for Liverpool.
You need to protect your mystique to some extent as well. Like, and look, it's not going to be playing sailing for him in the SPFL at all. But I think he carries an aura. I saw those photos of him, and it's weird. And maybe, look, this is one of those things that you can look totally stupid saying, but I remember when Benitez came in and he looked like a manager who could lift the European trophy for us. Klopp walked in and he's like, you can just see it. I see Steven Gerrard and I can see him lifting the league title there.
Yeah.
And it's just that thing as well, is I think he will, he's learned under Brendan. He knows what Brendan Rodgers' philosophy is. He'll know the weaknesses to it as well, because he's been part of it. And I think as well, I think he probably feels that he's the kind of guy who'll go toe to toe with Brendan Rodgers and just be like, I think Gerrard thinks he's bigger and better than, I mean, and he literally is bigger and better than Brendan Rodgers, significantly in height and in terms of footballing stature as well.
Yeah.
So I don't think he'll have any fears. And people seem to be focusing on the what if it goes wrong, what if it goes right?
Exactly.
He comes to Liverpool in 5 years' time with a couple of some domestic silverware and a, a modicum, a handful of European games at worst under his belt. Yeah. Maybe then go, could he, but then maybe he goes somewhere else. Maybe he goes on to another step up. Maybe he goes to a Porto, yeah, or a Benfica, or a whomever, or an Ajax or something like that,
yeah,
and does another league where it's not super, super competitive, but you get the chance, you know, you, yeah, get all the experience. I think it's a good move.
I was having a conversation the other day with some of my mates, and they were saying that there aren't many world-class footballers who've gone on to be world-class players. And I understand managers. That sentiment, managers, sorry, but I understand that sentiment, but then you look at, it doesn't matter about your footballing ability. I don't know what Gerrard's like as a manager. Yeah. He could be garbage. He could be unreal. And yeah, it's about, you're never going to see that when he's managing the under-18s. You're never going to see that. So him going to Rangers at least lets us see his style of football. Because I don't know what Gerrard's style of football is. That's a mad thing to me. Is, yeah, Gerrard's always been dictated to, and you're playing on a right wing, you're playing centre offensive mid. Now you get to see what he kind of thought of all that. He's taken all that in from all these great managers, learnt under Jurgen Klopp, all these players, different styles of play, seeing how it goes wrong with Roy Hodgson, yeah, seeing how not to be.
Yeah.
He's got the experience there. I can't wait to see how, exactly, he does.
You know, Gerard Houllier, Rafa Benitez, Jurgen Klopp in recent times, yeah, you know, the Brendan Rodgers at the time, Fabio Capello, Sven-Goran Eriksson,
yeah,
you know, these are some of the biggest names in management, some of them slightly more so than others, of course, but you know, he's been there and he's done it, so yeah, it will be very interesting to see, and he's got the character for it. One thing it does, it has prompted, we've seen a link today, he could potentially take Dom Solanke on loan. I think Chris mentioned it to me the other day, like I said Danny Ings. I was like, Danny Ings would go to Rangers and be absolutely phenomenal. Yeah. You could take a player like that and he would go and score 20, 30 goals in Scottish football, yeah, make a massive difference. And I'd seen the Solanke stuff. If you consider the lad who, what was his name? The lad they signed, Celtic signed from Fulham.
Ryan Sessegnon.
No, Ryan Sessegnon's the kid at Fulham at the moment. But centre forward. Is he a Dembele?
I think it's Dembele, yeah.
So, you know, he's gone there. He's gone from the Championship and gone there and was like the hottest prospect in Scottish football. There's a real avenue there. And the same sort of learning curve goes for the players as it does for Gerrard, is that you can go and send lads there to play some relatively competitive football. Hopefully, you know, if they qualify, get a few European games under the belt as well. Get to feel some real hostility, yeah, and anger, you know what I mean, directed at when you're playing, and you know, hopefully come back a damn sight better, I think, than going and playing League Two, League One, and to some extent Championship.
And you can lose games without there being a massive amount of pressure. Liverpool, I know, obviously Rangers want to win every game, but you lose a game for Liverpool and everyone's heads fall off and you're the worst player. We saw it the other day. Whereas take some of them losses at another team where people aren't really watching you, but you can still put in good performances.
You can still put in, but well, I think the flip of it is more, you can put in bad performances and the team can still win games, yeah, moreover, yeah, yeah, in that league, because they should be better than the vast, yeah, majority of the teams in that. So you're right, you can do a little bit of learning on the job to some extent.
The main thing for me with that one though is, are we bringing Origi back? We can't leave out, we're bare in the front positions anyway.
Yeah.
And I know Solanke's not scored, not had many games, but Origi's played 21 times and 9 off the bench, only scored 5. But he's a presence, you know what I mean?
I honestly think we're done with Origi. I think,
really?
I just don't think he's got what it takes. I don't think, you know, I think if our centre forward, and that's why I would be, Dom Solanke going on loan would make more sense than Danny Ings, because, yeah, Danny Ings is still that very poor man's Roberto Firmino in, yeah, that regard, just because of the work rate and how much he tears around the place and his understanding. And he's got a little bit of an eye for goal as well.
Yeah.
I think we'd be more likely to double down on players on the, you know, wingers. I don't think we need, yeah, that many centre forward options. If Rian Brewster's going to be coming up into the squad,
true, actually,
Rian Brewster, Danny Ings, then if you get one or two fast lads you can play either side, you've got the option to play Mo Salah centre forward, yeah, or Mane centre forward,
yeah, yeah,
and you make up your numbers in that regard. But loads more of that type of talk to come from now until the window closes at the start of the new season. Steehaw is doing the Reds transfer roundup show on the RedmenTV.com every single week. Every single Liverpool transfer rumour covered in depth and detail. Perfect time to start your subscription. We'll be discussing all these players, particularly Fekir this week. We're going to be delving deep into watching as many highlight packages, oh, yeah, as we possibly can. So watch that show. That'll be out out on Wednesday evening on the redmentv.com. So, Tom, let's not talk about Chelsea. the first and only good thing that came out of that game was that tremendous, beautiful South song.
Great song.
Isn't it?
It's weird, the amount of new songs that have been made, and it's all because of just Champions League football and how the great feeling around it. And Salah's got about seven
he's
songs.
He's actually got more songs. Mo Salah is like, you know, you see those stats and it's like, Mo Salah scored more goals than 12 of the teams in the Premier League. Yeah. He's got more songs than 12 of the teams in the Premier
it's
League
ridiculous.
As well.
And I love it all. It's always a good feeling. You always want to have new songs. You want to be learning new songs. I remember the first time I learned Poor Scouser Tommy and I was buzzing to first singing in the cop, and I can't wait to sing that one in the cop or in the ground, around the ground. And because that's it. I still haven't sang it with loads of Liverpool fans yet. I'm still in the process of learning the words, humming it to myself.
It was funny because for me it was like Ale, Ale, Ale. We, like, that came out in Portugal. Loads of lads were singing it all day long, and we were singing it on the tram up to the station and what have you, or the train up to the station, up to the ground. And then it kind of the next game it started to get sung.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing where we've got a couple of weeks now. Get this learn, get this practice, and get this ready for Kiev.
Yeah.
And that. I think you're dead right on that, and it's what the beauty of what this cup run's done for us, you know. And look, in 3 weeks' time, we'll be able to sit back and look at the season as a whole and identify what happened and whether it was a truly magnificent season, or whether it was just a good season, or whether it was a disappointing season, whatever. Yeah. But you're dead right, and what this has done is it's given us stories, and it's
exactly.
given us songs off the back of it. And it's interesting, I was talking to a fella from me, one of the dads at my lad's school, and he was saying about how you get new songs every year, basically. And there's so many songs that we've had, the new songs that have come about in the last in the last few years, that they start to supersede old ones and what have you. And they come about through being in great situations, you know. Poetry in Motion came from 13-14 because we were just so good. That was when that one blew up. But the fact that the volume of songs we've generated this season tells you everything you need to know about how good this season's been.
And I love hearing. There was the Oxlade-Chamberlain one, which he can't sing because he's not played. I love that song. I heard it in the car, pissed myself laughing, and then proceeded to sing it for the next 3 days. And It's about people being open to this as well. It's not wool to sing these new songs, you know what I mean? But that's been a thing sometimes where it's like, oh, what's that lad singing for? Whereas if you're in a really good mood and Liverpool are playing boss footy, there's no... You'll sing whatever it is because you're bladdered, you're in the cop having the best time, or you're in Europe on a train going, well, we need to pass the time somehow. It's 5 hours to get to wherever we're going. Let's make a song.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I love the fact that they're taking off, and I love the fact that we're going through the 90s songbook as well. Yeah. It's interesting how things happen. And it says to me, actually, there's a generation now who are like lads who are around my age and slightly older, probably like in the mid 30s to mid 40s. Yeah. And it's now, you know, we're not making songs off Beatles songs and stuff anymore. It's those songs that we're fucking making. So again, we're doing dodgy songs and beautiful South songs and James songs and all that kind of stuff. I think it's absolutely amazing. And one thing it leads on, obviously going back to Roma last week, because we've not really had a chance to talk about it. Chris and I did a very, very impromptu podcast in Rome Airport, which wasn't the best of audio quality, shall we say. It was what it was. For me, obviously, you were back here, you were in the cop, I was there. The atmosphere of both was just out of this world.
I didn't know what to expect. So I went down with Jamie, Ross and Ben, and I was unsure if it was going to be subdued and stuff. And while we were getting into the ground, we sat on the cop waiting, everyone's nervous, and you can feel like the anticipation brewing. And as more people came in, more people were singing. And the best part about it is, it felt like a game that you were in Anfield for. It was a really strange atmosphere, but in the best way possible. And we were in the middle, so we were a bridge, which I love being, so you can hear it from one end, and then you hear it, and you just stand up and start singing it, and there's four of us, so we can get a nice little vocal going.
Yeah.
There's people down in front of us who are joining in with us every time we try, and that's the best kind of... I love going to the game and singing, and that's what I was worried that it wouldn't be. It would be like, oh, we're watching the game,
Like sitting in the main stand with a blanket on your knee, watching it on telly.
It was like being in the cop hall. It was like a... it was just unbelievable. And the scenes afterwards were stood outside the park, blocking the road for an hour and a half, singing "Ale, Ale, Ale." And I can't wait to see Liverpool. If we win this Champions League, Liverpool is going to be one of the best places in the world to be for weeks.
It's mad, and because we've just got such a great history of doing that, and it feels like there's something that's been missing for a number of years, and we've had it periodically. You know, we had it under Pete Rodgers because it took a few years because no one was really convinced by his appointment at the time. Yeah. So he had to win everyone over with the style of footy that he was trying to play. And Rafa came in and look, domestically we were pretty terrible at that first season, but we went on and lifted the European Cup.
Yeah.
Julier came in under a joint managership with Roy Evans, which was an absolute fucking disaster. And it took a while for them to get going. It feels like we've got a proper unity now.
Yeah, definitely.
You still got the odd whopper out there, and there's no accounting for weirdos. Like, but the not just like everyone buying into what the manager's doing, but there's a unity and there's a symbiosis between the fans and between the players.
Yeah.
And there was never more evident to me than the celebrations at the full time whistle. And obviously, we did a few of the videos, done the vlogs and what have you, so you'll have seen it by that and by a BT's coverage, etc., etc. But like the game finished and they came over and celebrated and they clapped, and they've done that before. They did that after Man City. Yeah. They've done that after Porto and all that kind of stuff. But it was like they hung around for a bit longer. Then Mane breaks ranks and goes in to jump in with his brother, and he's jumping up and down, waving his arms and celebrating. Everyone's getting up for it. And then you've got Henderson asking for the Sean Cox flag and bringing that out and standing there and posing for that. And then, you know, you've got all the players break ranks and they all go over to the crowd and they're all celebrating and getting right up because they're like, it's like someone's gone.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Because they get told constantly, like, keep your distance, keep safe. You are the, you know, and it's like they've just gone, nah, we're going to appreciate this, we're going to soak it up, and we're going to take it for what it is. And I think that was the beauty of that, is that that's what is it. There's a mutual understanding that this is a shared experience.
Yeah.
That, you know, you don't get, whether you're good or not, you don't get to European Cup finals every season.
No.
So there's a degree to which, go and enjoy it. Go and soak it up.
That's the best part. I love seeing the as soon as the final whistle goes and Jordan Henderson's going, yes, and that's exactly what every one of us were doing. It is one of them where it is a Champions League final and it means so much to everyone. For them players to say, I'm in a Champions League final, there's not many players in the Premier League are going to be able to say at the end of their careers, I at least got to a Champions League final. Exactly. I deserve to get there. And I just love all of it. I love the fact that, just the Reds are amazing.
It was just, you know, there was just so much of it. And again, even when the manager does it, like, he was dead naughty. You know, did his press conference and he just comes out for like a... and then he starts doing like gets because there was like a big the main group and then there's another group of Liverpool fans off in obviously like a neutral section or whatever, and he's making us go like this, making them go arms in the air, and he's literally pissing himself laughing, having the laugh with it, because this again there's a great podcast that Graham Hunt has done with Jürgen Klopp, and I've only listened to the start of it, but you get that sense of him how he just tries his best to enjoy life as much as possible, and it's definitely a lesson we could all learn, is that life is stressful and there's so many difficult things that you go through, and, you know, particularly football, the football season can be a fucking slog. There's no getting away from it. Yeah. You know, you go through the cold and the wet and the late kickoffs and the early kickoffs, and sometimes the performance is a bit flat and sometimes the atmosphere is a bit flat. But you know what? When you reach the moments like this, you realise that, you know, you've got to not, you can't be too judgmental on the journey, because ultimately football seasons are judged in chunks, they're judged in isolation and amongst themselves. This is where if you can't smile now, you're never going to be able to smile.
It's mad when Jürgen Klopp first came in and we were all made up because we knew just what a great manager and man as a whole he was, and he said, oh, I'm here to turn doubters into believers, and regardless of what that final result is going to be, he has turned everyone into believers. Yeah. And that is, to do that in a short amount of time, I want to follow this man everywhere he goes. Yeah. No matter what he does, I love following him. Yeah. I'd follow him to the end of the earth just to see him fist pump, just to see him happy.
Yeah.
I'd make him, you know what I mean? Yeah, he's that much of a brilliant person to me. It's unreal how good he is.
This is the period now, and this is where I say I think there'll be, this is where the period where there'll be fans of other clubs who'll be trying to have a pop, and look, that's kind of become fans of other clubs' job, isn't it, to try and gain some sort of gleam of hope and light into their miserable existences. But this is the period now where we don't have to worry about the specifics of the game.
Look,
we've got 2 weeks until we have to start really thinking about the game itself. Obviously there's Brighton, which we're going to come on to next. But this is the period now where we just get to enjoy it, and it's what I'm saying, that, like, you know, this is the time where you can sing all your songs, every single song that we've learned along the way. You can practice your songbook, you can go through them, you can go and sing them in pubs, and you can sing them on the streets at Anfield, you can go to Anfield at the weekend and sing them, have a good time, enjoy it. You can watch all the goals because they still exist. Everything exists in possibility. It's not like it's hard watching the Europa League run back from 2 years ago, because you know it didn't end the way we wanted to end. And as much as it's great watching the Dortmund highlights back, they are tainted ever so slightly. So this is the time now. This right here, right now, if you're watching at home, if you're listening at home, this is the best time. Football doesn't get any better than this, other than actually winning the trophy. And that is something else. That catapulted to another level, another dimension. But that is just a 50-50 chance. That's a straight gamble. That's a straight shootout. So if you're waiting for that to be happy, then you've left yourself with a very strong chance, a very, very strong chance of being very unhappy. Enjoy it now. Enjoy it while you can, because there is no stress and no pressure on us right now. Yes, there's an important game of football to come in the Premier League at the weekend, but other than that, this is literally... This is nirvana.
Exactly. We might look stupid at the end of it if we don't win it, and we've been singing all these songs, but who cares? If this Manx's going to laugh at me because where have you been? What have you done this season? You've been watching dire football and you've done nothing. You know what I mean? And maybe they'll win a cup,
let everyone play their own game. Let everyone do with their own thing. And the problem we've got with the internet and the way it's changed now is we never used to be kind of put in front of fans of other clubs. Never used to happen 10 years ago. You'd have your own little group, and, you know, you socially you'd meet up with people and you wouldn't even get that banter. You get a bit of jokes. Now you get vitriol. And it all comes from a point of jealousy. It all comes from a place of point scoring. And it's like, I'm not asked about Man United. I'm not asked about the type of football they play. You know, if they're happy with their season, let them be happy with their season. If they're upset with their season, let them be upset with their season. Same goes for any other football club in the world. And that's the beauty of what we've done, is that for the first time in years, I don't have to turn around and look at another football club and try and gain some glimmer of satisfaction from seeing them fail to make me feel better about my own football club. And that's an inevitability of it, unfortunately. You know, it's a bit of a Trumpism or whatever, like, but it is that thing of, if something's bad, you go, yeah, but what about these guys? Well, fuck them guys. It's all about us. We get to spend the next 2.5 weeks watching every single goal, every single skill move, reading every single word of every single line, of every single article that is posted on every single website and newspaper around the world that is gearing us up towards this final. Yeah. What a time to be a Liverpool fan. What a time to be alive.
I love it. And at the start of the season, you said, I just want Liverpool to create records that we can look back at. We have done that with aplomb this season, and it could get even better if Mo Salah gets the goals against Brighton, you know what I mean? Yeah. And to sit there and just look at what this squad has achieved, and that's the thing, I'm proud of every single Liverpool player there. I cannot look at, like, some United fans might look at Pogba and say, oh, he's not been good enough. Ozil for Arsenal might be like, oh, he's not good enough. Every single Liverpool player, whether they're good enough or not, whether you think they're good enough or not, has put 110% into this run. And I can't be disappointed at the end of it because of that. And that's the best thing about this Liverpool side, and that's why I love the unity. Like you said before, we're all backing each other. We all want what's best for each other, and it shows on the pitch when the smiles on the players' faces. Oh, it just makes you happy to see this Liverpool team like this at the moment.
Exactly. They just know we've got the back, and that's absolutely incredible. Right, we're going to talk about Brighton in a moment. Before we do, I need to tell everyone, if you're watching this on the YouTube channel, if you're listening to it on your podcast app, if you are in Liverpool this weekend ahead of the Brighton game, we are doing a live show in the city centre, Soundbart on Duke Street.
Yeah, 52 Duke Street.
There you go. Tickets are available right now. If you're a subscriber to the RedmenTV.com, they are 50% cheaper. We'll put a link underneath the video underneath the podcast, or you can get it. It's the pinned tweet on at the Redmen TV at the moment if you want more information on that. But we are going to be there. We are going to, basically, look, it's a season celebration. I think it's going to be boring and drab. Quite the opposite. You've clearly never seen how we do this before. There will be some chat. We will be talking through the high points of what has been a phenomenal season so far. We will be singing songs. Oh, yeah. We will be playing games. We will be dancing, and there may be drinking as well. We're going to roar ourselves on. We're going to cheer ourselves up. We're going to head into Brighton the next day, and then obviously on to the Champions League final in Kiev. So whether you're coming or not, or whether you want to, whether you're thinking, what do I do this weekend? How do I support Liverpool when I'm a bit far? Come up. Come and do the party with us. Come and sing some songs, and then maybe go and check the game out in the pub, even if it's around Anfield. Yeah. Promises to be a phenomenal atmosphere. It'll be very much an upbeat experience this week on Merseyside. Yeah. So yeah, if you're not sure what to do and you think, what do I do this weekend? Come and check us out. It promises to be absolutely amazing. They're normally a good laugh, aren't they?
They are fun. I especially remember the one in Germany. Yeah, I mean, I don't remember the last part of the night. That's a story for another day. But no, it's great just to, just get to sing songs, be with other Liverpool fans and have a bevy.
Yeah, and if you want to hear some of the stories that Tom alludes to that we can't tell you on the podcast or on the shows, come and speak to us. Come and get face-to-face. We're basically going to do a bit of a show. We'll do some parties. There are going to be people playing Liverpool songs. We'll have a laugh. And then we're just going to be around having a drink. So if you want to come and talk to us and have a catch-up and talk about the season face-to-face and what have you, then absolutely, that should be an absolute belter. The German one was class. The best thing about that, I know if people can ask me more about this story, but we were technically the support act for Gary McAllister, Vladi Smicer, and was it Berger? Was it just Smicer?
Yeah,
we've got the things down there. It was Berger. We've got sign cards down there, and they almost weren't allowed to go on stage because we'd made the room and the audience too rowdy off the back of us. So yeah, we don't do things in half measure. So come down, have a bevy, a chat, and a bit of a party with us in Liverpool this Saturday from 8 o'clock. It promises to be an absolute belter. Okay then, Tom, Brighton next. It would have been nice for this all to be sewn up. We can sit here and we can lament drop points in, you know, a number of games in recent weeks. It is what it is. keep boiling it back to this time last year, we crawled across the line. This time, you know, if you'd said, okay, well, we're going to finish third or fourth, it's going to come down to the last game of the season again, but oh, by the way, you're also in the Champions League final, I'd have taken that all day long.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. I've got two different ways of thinking about it, but the positive way of thinking about it is it's all geared up to be one of the best atmospheres at Anfield this season. Look, I know it's only Brighton, but it's last game. We have to win it. And if we win it, we know that we've got Champions League sewn up. And say it's 2-0 at half-time, and Mo Salah's got both of them. You know he's won that record. You know that you can go into the Champions League final on a high. They're going to be all made up after the game. And that's how I'm choosing to think about it. I don't care about Stoke or Chelsea anymore, or Everton, or West Brom, was it? Yeah, we should have it sewn up, and this should be a testimonial game. But it doesn't matter. We play the best when we are forced to play the best. Yeah. And we're going to go out there. There's going to be no tired legs, believe me. They're all going to go out there wanting to win this game. Yeah. And I've got no doubt in my mind that they're going to show it up.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? And I think we've said before, this team plays better when it's fighting together against a common goal, and whether that's against an opponent or whether it's against fatigue or whatever. Yeah. There's no, you know, Brighton should be on the beach. They're safe. They're sorted. Their season's over. This should be a bit of a procession, for a bit of a trip up to Liverpool for them, hopefully in the sunshine and whatever. Yeah. And this is a great chance for the fans again to get together, kind of like we did for the Bournemouth game, I think it was. You know, just go and generate a great atmosphere.
Watford
give
as well.
Give the lads a bit of a G up. And as you say, we've had a week since Chelsea by the time this comes around, you've then got 2 weeks till the final.
Exactly.
So there should be no issues of, oh, I'm a bit tired. No, you go out, you go flat out. And it wouldn't shock me if we had like a behind closed doors game in a week, but it also wouldn't shock me if Klopp turned around and went, right, you've got 4 days off after this, or he takes them all away for somewhere for a bit, just to make sure everyone gets a bit of sun, gets the feet up, bit of warm weather, relaxation, you know, that kind of stuff. And this, we've got a good record more recently of doing that. Klopp saying, right, no, this is it. There's no taking your eyes off the prize here, because we haven't got a midweek game.
Yeah.
We've got nothing else is to think about, really, other than getting the 3 points against
Brighton. Yeah, and that's why I'm so confident. And look, it's going to be nervy. It's going to be nervy. The people are going to be... But then, if I'm at Anfield, instead of me channeling my nerves onto the pitch, the best way to do that is to sing and not think about it.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm nervous at a football game, all I want to do is sing it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no shouting at the players. That gets us nowhere.
Yeah.
When you're actively cheering on and going, ah, unlucky, keep it going. It's your last chance this season to see them at Anfield.
Yeah.
Give them a send-off that, you know what I mean? They deserve this send-off regardless of result.
Yeah.
They deserve being cheered to the nines. It's gonna be boss.
Absolutely, and I think that's right. And I think, you know, the Middlesbrough game was a lot harder than it needed to be last season. It was a bit. It was just a massive, as I said, as we slumped across the line. There's a big look. And look, I've talked. It's the running theme of this season is the fear. And, you know, we've talked about this, and now it still will exist that, you know, what if, because we've left ourselves in a situation where it's left to 90 minutes. Now, obviously, Chelsea have got Huddersfield on home on Wednesday.
Mm.
You'd expect that to be a formality. So it will go down to the last game, but we'll know that it's in our hands. As you say, what Liverpool need to do is they just need to go out and go out all guns blazing. And rather than do what Liverpool has done for 20 years, so I've seen us fuck things up on the last game of the season so many times,
yeah,
20, 25 years, you know. And so we just need to go out and do what this team has done all season long. And that's go out, play our footy, play aggressively, play with everything, leave nothing on the pitch, and have that game. If they want the procession, if they feel like all they've got is 60 minutes in their legs before it all falls apart, go and give me the best 60 minutes, the hardest run 60 minutes you've given of all season. Because, and let's be honest, Tom, as well, yes, we're threadbare, but, you know, there's talk Adam Lallana could well be back for the final.
Yeah.
There's talk Emre Can could be back for the final.
Yeah.
We're going to have a couple of more options there. All of a sudden, you know, there should be players thinking... that's a great quote from Steven Gerrard, and Carragher's echoed it as well, saying, when you get that place in the team, you want to fight, you want to battle, you want to keep everyone else out of that team. And so there's chances that those lads, don't care how fatigued they think they are, they should be going out there and dying for this, and leaving no doubt in the manager's mind that they're on the team sheet when it comes to the Champions League final.
Definitely, and I think we're just going to push up on their back line. I'd be really surprised if Brighton... maybe they'll come out at us. That would be really, really nice. Give us a bit of space just for Salah to go. But I think when we're playing against Chelsea and we're coming up against the back nine, I guess it was, and they're really, really, really top players with a top coaching system in place there. I'm not saying Brighton aren't. They deserve to be safe, you know what I mean? They've had a good season. But if Liverpool can't go out there and do what they've done to so many teams this season, think about Swansea, that 5-0. You need to go out there.
We beat them away from home with Genie Wijnaldum in the back three.
There you go.
This is the thing, and these are the things that you can look back and go, wow. But it's not arrogance. It's fact at this point that this team has got itself into this position. Liverpool are not here by accident, by design. And look, again, it will boil down to this, and the same would go for Kiev, is that in life, all you ever do is you fight for things to be in your hand. There are certain situations in life where the decisions are taken out of your hands, and you've got to sit at home and you've got to twiddle your thumbs and you've got to wait for other people to act or not act in order for your life to move on. This is not that.
Exactly.
That's what Chelsea are at.
Exactly.
This is what Chelsea are. The Chelsea fucking players are thinking, well, we could work our absolute bollocks off here. We could smash Huddersfield and we can go into the last game of the season and we can go and do that, and Liverpool can just turn up and record a comfortable win. And it's done, and we're not playing Champions League football next season. If Liverpool, this is a wonderful test of character to Brendan Rodgers, it in the best possible way, is that, yes, it's not a super competitive game. Yes, it now leaves us with a bit of a gap, which could create its own issues before Kiev. But we've got something to fight for. We've got something to play for. We've got one more thing to test the mental strength and the physical strength of this team. So I'd say bring it on, because I'd actually much rather us have a game that matters with the gap to the Champions League final, rather than us be sitting around in the sun with Dom Solanke, rocking it on his own up front, and Mo Salah sitting in the stands with the sunnies on. Fuck that. This is fine.
Exactly. And you think them players have enjoyed every single second of travelling around Europe and playing in European games. So they're going to want that again. It's not about pride or anything like that. It's to create these memories again, regardless. And they obviously want that. We all obviously want that, and that's why I'm not too worried. I've been worried at other games in the season, but we've fought tooth and nail to get where we are, and you're right, it's in our hands. Yeah. There's no one else who can control our own destiny except for ourselves. No.
We have, we've earned the right. We've disappointed. This team has let us down too many times at the end of the season, whether it's like Gerrard send off and all that kind of stuff in between. We've got to play your last home game of the season as the last game of the season. There's a chance that, barring a few thousand Brighton fans, you could talk on the best part of 50,000 Reds who are going to stick around after the game. And it's we've had laps of appreciation, and that it will be a lap of appreciation because we've won nothing yet. Mm-hmm. But this is the closest thing Liverpool have had to a lap of honour in far too long. Yeah. And that is within the grasp of these players. They've earned the right to not just be cheered on by the away fans, to have the appreciation of every single Red in that stadium. So listen, Liverpool Football Club players, we hand this over to you. I'm going to be there. We're going to be screaming behind your back to get in there, get stuck in and get it done. We're going to support you. Let us do it together like we've done so far so well this season, and book top four, and then we can just go in and just squeeze every ounce of effort and enjoyment out of a Champions League final.
I can't wait.
I cannot wait at all. Brilliant. Got some questions coming in there. Nolo Mashita says, a man with £1 million points a gun at your head and says, choose one song to sing and you have to get every single word right. If you do, you get £1 million. If you don't, you die. What song do you sing?
I've got it sorted. Riverside by Sidney Sampson. Okay. There's two words in the chorus.
The Genie Wijnaldum song.
But in all seriousness, it's probably Easy by Lionel Richie. I know all the words for some reason.
I was going to go like something dead simple, like Wonderwall or something, but there's a bit in the song, any song where it slightly changes, just is it at the bridge or it just changes like one word, 2 days, they'll never throw it back to you, and I always, you go, oh crap. Is it that part or that part? So even though I've heard Wonderwall 7 bazillion times, I don't think I could ever get that song right. But I also thought, there's an option to go super simple. But I say, nah, screw that.
Rap God by Eminem.
Rap God by... Waterfalls by TLC. No, is to go The Hurricane by Bob Dylan.
Okay.
I want 8 minutes of the entire life story of former boxer and wrongly imprisoned The Hurricane. And because I reckon I can do it.
You'd have earned £1 million there. You'd have earned that. You know what I mean?
If you're going to do it, put on a show.
Yeah. And if you get it wrong, you won't know because you'll be shot in the head.
Exactly.
There you go.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, let us know in the comments below. What is the song that you would sing for £1 million or death? Right, one final football question, and it is an absolute belter. It got me really thinking, and I apologise. This might lead to some nerves ahead of the final. Yeah. Sam Miley asks, European Cup final goes to penalties. Who are your five takers?
This is so hard. I don't know in what order, because that's a whole different question in itself. But
you've not put them in order.
Well, I've put them in an order, but I don't.
You've not specifically chosen the order. I have. Gone into my thinking. The psychological warfare to be had here, mate.
So I've gone Milner, yes. Firmino, Van Dijk, Trent, and Mane.
Wow.
Glaring.
You've left. So let's do this in order. You've left our final penalty to Sadio Mane.
Yep.
Why?
Because I watched him take a pen on YouTube and it went in the corner. Genuinely, I don't know.
Here's the thing. You've not put Mo Salah in. Why?
Because I feel like he's going to blast it down the middle. And that works. It can work. But I want someone like... I'd take a Balotelli, who you know is putting it bottom corner every time. Gerrard, Milner does it every time. Firmino to an extent. I know he can do it under pressure, but I don't want him to be last pen and he misses it.
Here's the thing. I've gone James Milner first because I think you need a safe pen. Here's the problem. Like, a few of these players, like, there's three of these lads I've seen miss penalties, and then we just don't have that expert penalty taker. So there is a degree of gamble with this, which is what makes me concerned. But Milner, look, safe and steady as you go. Stand him up first. I've sent Jordan Henderson up second because I think he's wanted to be pen taker for a while. He's been superseded
a bit.
Captain, he would just show massive bollocks by saying I'm stepping up and doing this, and he's not got a great record, and it would make me dead edgy, to be fair. I've then gone Trent.
Yeah.
Because I think he's probably got it in him, because you can take set pieces, and it's just there's just big, massive balls on the lad. Send them up there and whatever. I've then gone Bobby Firmino because I think he's another of our good penalty takers. Again, he's missed some. I think if he scores that one against Sevilla, I think he's just our pen taker. We've had issues with that. And I've put Mo Salah fifth because of the Egypt reason.
Yeah.
I don't want Mo Salah taking any of the first four pens for Liverpool at all, because I think he would blast down the middle, whereas I think he's proven that he's got the nerve and he's got the bollocks to just kick it into the goal. All the chips are down. Yeah. Score your fifth penalty to win. Who'd you give it to in our team?
Yeah, fair enough.
The only lad who's had the bollocks to send an entire country to a World Cup is Mohamed Salah. He's taking me fifth penalty. If it goes to sudden death, I have got no idea.
Sudden death.
Virgil, maybe.
I think Van Dijk could have a good pen on him. I actually really do. This is the last thing I want to happen, because look at their squad and their penalty takers. They will all go top in.
Yeah.
And that's the annoying thing. And look,
they'll all go top in, but you always have someone who goes off, like bloody Reset or whatever, who goes against the plan and tries to be clever and sticks it in the opposite corner. And
Marcelo will blast it over.
Yeah, exactly.
I really don't want that to happen. I can remember 05 pens, the nerves that I had in that, and this will be so much worse.
Yeah.
Just please don't do this to me.
I think we've got it. I think it's not as bad as all that. It would have been nice if the referee has just given us some frigging pens during the season so we could have practiced this at some point.
Yeah.
But no, it'll be what it'll be. And I think, you know, we've got enough strong characters in that team that it should be fine.
Oh.
It should be fine. I've just said this is the enjoyable period. We should have waited a week for this, Tom. What was I thinking?
What game was it where we had, like, we went round and round and round?
Oh, the League Cup, wasn't it? Was that Middlesbrough?
Middlesbrough.
Where's Lucas when you...
Where's Colo Torre? You know
Where's
I mean?
Jordan Rossiter? Where's Jordan Williams?
If we can get through that, we can get through Real, I hope.
Absolutely. Brilliant. Thanks for watching and listening to Red Men Radio. Drop a like, drop a 5-star review as well if you enjoy what we do. Always appreciate it. And if you want more podcasts, we nail this stuff week in, week out. The Final Word, the Man of the Match podcast, Crystal's stats and tactics in depth and detail, the Reds transfer roundup. We've got every element of Liverpool Football Club support covered, and it helps make all of this possible as well. So if you go to redmentv.com, sign up, start your 3-month trial. My word, what a few weeks we've got building up. Oh, yeah. I say, if you think the enjoyment is here, if you think the excitement's here, wait till you see what we've got coming up. We have got some absolutely phenomenal content lined up. I highly encourage you to start your subscription and, yeah, become a supporter of the Red Men TV. Yeah,
we're on and 248,000 on YouTube as well, so yeah, let's get that to 250.
Yeah.
Love that.
And finally, we've got our LALA t-shirts, which is size, where it's size, good cotton blend. Yeah. So I was enjoying it very much. Fact, like, leg it round here. Let's everyone. That's what you were asking. Look at that. They're available. They're available right now on the Red Men TV shop. Bigcartel.com.
One shirt that I wear with something that's not playing.
Yeah, that's it. You know, which is the highest possible praise from Tom. He literally doesn't wear any t-shirts with anything on other than a LALA. And as I say, tickets available for the live show as well. This Saturday, come down, hang out with us. It's going to be an absolute belter of a laugh because it's been a belter of a season. The podcast will return next week with yet more build-up to the final in Kiev and wrapping the season up. But until then, thank you very much for listening, watching, and walk on.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.